Good morning. How we doing? Good to see you this morning. We are in part two of this mini series entitled Hope for Hard Cases. And this week we are looking at the hard case of the bully from 1 Samuel chapter 17. So go ahead and take your Bibles out. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at 54 verses today. A lot of real estate to cover, and so we're gonna get it done. One of the unfortunate realities of living in this world is the existence of bullies. There are just some people, and we know who they are, who just kind of enjoy this whole idea of pushing other people around. And bullying is big in the news right now, but it's not a new thing. Bullies have existed since the dawn of the human race, and nonetheless, it's a major problem. Kids deal with bullies at school. People work with bullies on their jobs. They're in their neighborhoods, and dare I say this morning that they're in our churches. Not our church, but other churches, right? Bullying is defined as the use of threats or intimidation to others. It is the activity of repeated aggressive behavior intended to hurt another person or physically and or emotionally. Here are just some characteristics of a bully. They lack empathy for others. They need to control others. They get angry quickly. They make others feel afraid and use physical aggression to intimidate and control. Bullies come in all shapes, sizes, ages. They wear all kinds of external packages. They can be children. They can be husbands, wives. They can be elderly. They can be poor, rich, wise, or foolish. The reality is they're small-minded, evil-hearted people who want power to control those that live around them. Satan is a bully. Temptation can be a bully. Bullies are not to be tolerated. The passage that we're going to study this morning is about a bully who was put in his place by a very unlikely young man. You might be familiar with the story of David and Goliath. If you had asked Israel about Goliath, they would have said, "This is a hopeless situation." If you would have asked King Saul, he would have said, "This is hopeless." If you would have asked David, he would have said, "Goliath is a bully and God's about to deal with him." So as we walk through these verses today, I want you to know that there is hope for hard cases. So let's consider the facts of this one and think through what to do with the case of a bully. So go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me this morning. How is the bully described here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 24 as we get started? Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soko and Azekiah, Ephrus and Demnon. Okay, so stop right here for a second. I want you to know I actually did work hard on this past week and just folded under the pressure, okay? We'll continue. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up a line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side. Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail and weight of the coat of 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you are not servants of Saul? Choose a man from yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all of Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephraite of Bethlehem, second time in a lot of years, in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons who went to battle, Eliab, the firstborn, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. Jesse said to David, his son, "Take your brothers to Ephrath and parts of grain and the 10 loaves and carry them to the camp to your brothers, and also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them." Now Saul and they had all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army, and David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and he greeted his brothers. And as he talked with him, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him and all the men of Israel. And when they saw the man, they fled from him and they were much afraid. So let's just take a look this morning how this bully is described. First, we see his people. Like our text says that Goliath was a Philistine. Now, the Philistines were of the Canaanite tribe left over from Israel's conquest of the Promised Land. They were powerful. They were warlike people known for their expert skills, especially as it related to metal, which meant that they crafted some pretty sweet armor and weapons to be used in war. They also were pagan idolaters who worshiped the fish god Dagon. The Philistines occupied the region that extended from the shores of the Mediterranean Sea in the west to the foot of the mountains of Judah in the east. Goliath was a pagan Gentile idol worshiper. He was an enemy of Israel and an enemy of God. His size, the Israelites, as they were preparing to fight for battle for the control of the nation or part of it, before the fight can begin, the Philistines say to the Israel, "Let's do this. Here's the plan, right? You guys send your best warrior. We'll send ours. The 2 warriors will meet between the opposing armies, and then they'll fight to the death. The army that loses the battle becomes the servants of the winning army. Deal?" I know it seems kind of weird, but this actually was a common way to settle their differences back in the day. The issue here is that the warrior the Philistines sent out to fight is this guy named Goliath, which means splendor. And you better believe it, the dude was a splendid physical specimen. Goliath was from the city of Gath, one of the 5 major cities located west of the mountains of Judah and southern Israel. People of Gath were referred to in the Bible as Gittites. Goliath was no ordinary soldier. He stood 6 cubits and a span. You know how tall that is? Let me tell you. It's 9 feet 9 inches tall. Big dude. He wore a bronze armor that covered his body from head to toe. The coat of this thing resembled fish scales. It weighed 5,000 shekels, about 200 pounds. He had his armor on his legs, a spear described as a weaver's beam, which is several feet long. And it's very thick. It weighed 600 shekels, or about 25 pounds. And if that's not bad enough, he had this guy that walked before him who carried another shield to help protect him from any arrows or spears that were launched by his enemies. In other words, this guy, hard to beat. Just difficult to beat. Everyone feared him, and they feared him for good reason. No one wanted to face him in battle. And then we see his challenges. Goliath comes out from the Philistine line, and he challenges the Israelites to a fight. Calls them cowards, demands that they send out a soldier to fight him. Verse 8, verse 16, he does this twice a day for 40 days. Let's go. It's on. He's a persistent bully who will not give up. And then we see his presence in verses 11 to 24. We read, when Israel heard the taunts of Goliath, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. You know what the word dismayed means? It means to break down from fear. Like they were panic stricken. They're petrified of this guy. That's the stronghold that Goliath had over them. They were flat out paralyzed by fear. And Goliath just possessed all the trademark characteristics of a true bully. He was big, he was intimidating, he was bold, he was persistent, he was out for blood. He wanted to take all the power away from God's people. He wanted to control them. And Goliath nails his primary goal. He left the people of God intimidated and broken. And he held absolute power over them in the king of Israel. So let me ask you this morning, how about you? Have any Goliaths in your life? Anyone or anything that looks a lot like Goliath that has that kind of control over you? I think at times we all face things from time to time. There are problems in life that just have power over us, right? There are people who loom large in our lives and to the point where sometimes we actually fear them, circumstances that overwhelm us with their intensity. And if we're not careful, we'll allow these bullies to intimidate us to the point where we become afraid to do anything. And we can be thankful that the story doesn't end with Goliath winning, right? Spoiler alert, he doesn't win. And as we move on in our story, we'll discover an amazing truth. And that truth is that bullies don't have to win. We've seen the bully described. We've seen his people, his size, his challenge, his presence. Now let's look how this bully is perceived. I'm going to go back to verse 25, pick it up there, or 20, and go through 25. David rose early in the morning. He left sheep with the keeper, took the provisions, and he went as Jesse had commanded him. And then he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry in Israel, and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks, and he went and greeted his brother. And as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him and all the men of Israel, and they saw the man. They fled from him, and they were much afraid. And then look at this. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. And the king will enrich a man who kills him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. So Goliath is threatening Israel. He challenges them to send out someone to fight him to their death. Every time Goliath does this, Israel responds, how? By hiding in fear, right? Because they see Goliath as this opponent that is just flat out unbeatable. Even King Saul, their leader, didn't want to face the giant. So fear rules the day in Israel. However, things are about to change. A young, unassuming man named David shows up on the battlefield. And when he gets there, he sees the same giant that Israel saw. He hears the same taunts and challenges. But instead of hiding in fear, David rises to the challenge and he does something about it. And what made David different from the rest? What made him think he could do what nobody else could do? Well, part of it is, I think it comes down to perception. David's viewpoint made all the difference in the outcome of the situation. Let's take a moment and just consider the different perceptions that were in play on that day. First one is this: as a competitor, when Israel saw and heard Goliath, that they said in verse 25, surely he has come up to defy Israel. Right? They saw him as merely a threat to their nation. They saw him as a threat to their peace, their prosperity, their happiness. And so when Goliath stood up, all they could see was him versus them. They couldn't see beyond their view of fear. Have you ever been there? When you face one of life's difficulties, sometimes we forget the issue is bigger than us. For most of us, our primary focus is on how things make us feel. And when we're afraid and we're threatened, when the peace and security of our lives are in danger, what do? We circle the wagons. We think only about how unpleasant events of the moment are affecting us. In other words, when we face a bully, most of the time we turn our focus inward and we try to protect like our little kingdom, right? And when we do that, we miss the bigger picture. That bully, no matter what name it wears, you fill in the blank, was sent to help you grow in the Lord. Whether you believe it or not, God knows all about it. He permitted that bully to come into your life for your good and his glory. Remember what God said to the Apostle Paul, last part of verse Romans chapter 8. Not in your notes, not on the screen, just listen to this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So no matter how much pain your bully causes, you know this. It was not sent to you to destroy you, but rather to develop you. It was sent to make you more like Jesus. Listen, if that bully in your life succeeds at getting your eyes off Jesus, the bully is won. But if you can face your bully with your eyes on the Lord, God will use that pain from that problem to help you become more like Jesus. Right? That's the goal. Next, how was the bully perceived? As a barrier. Israel saw Goliath as standing between them and what they wanted. David saw Goliath as standing between God and what God wanted. Verse 26, David says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So to David, the issue was bigger than Saul. It was bigger than the army of Israel. To David, the issue was about the glory of God. For David, Goliath stood as an obstacle between God and his people. Goliath had to go or Israel would be trapped in fear as they faced the bully they believed they could not defeat. And I got to tell you, we kind of need that same perspective. Fear of your bully will stop you from doing what needs to be done. Our problems or other things, fill in the blank, right? We consider to be our bullies are just obstacles to the Lord's will being done in our life. And we need to see them that way. And when we do, we're ready to see those circumstances change. The last way the bully was received as an opportunity. The men around David tell him what the reward will be if he kills the giants. Remember verse 25, he says he'll get some riches, marry the king's daughter, and he will not have to pay taxes. So apparently David is quite interested in the reward because he asked the men around him to tell him what he's going to get if he kills Goliath two more times, right? Verse 27, verse 30. We need to be careful not to think that David is motivated any way by greed. That's not it at all. And we get that wealth is appealing and marrying the princess is a pretty sweet deal as a young dude. Right? The thought of not having to pay taxes, nice perk. David's goal was not wealth, position, or power. David was motivated by something far greater. He was motivated by the glory of God. Back in 1 Samuel 16, the prophet Samuel came to David's house and anointed David to be the king, the next king of Israel. So David knew that one day he was going to take Saul's job. David knew that he was headed to the throne. I kind of think that David saw Goliath in some ways as like this stepping stone in that direction. Verse 29, David says, in response to Eliab's getting all mad at David and accusing him of leaving the sheep in the wilderness, and he asked, what have I done now? See, David was the man that God chose to shepherd Israel. And when the bully Goliath threatened those people, God's plans and God's glory, in David's not mine, he's like, that's not going to fly. And at that point, the bully had to go. And the sooner we realize that our bullies are an opportunity for God to receive glory, the sooner we'll be able to willingly stand up to him in God's power. God's not glorified when we're paralyzed by fear. He's glorified when I forget about myself, when I forget about my agenda, when I forget about my feelings and my wants. He's glorified when I'm concerned with his glory and not mine. And again, every bull in our lives is an opportunity for God to get the glory. What we need to do is we need to trust God for the power to stand up to the bullies that we face. All right, we've seen how this bully is described, how he's defined as a competitor, a barrier, an opportunity. Now we're going to see how the bully is brought down. David's determined to defend Israel and to deliver them from the insults and the attacks of Goliath. The remainder of this chapter teaches us how David defeated this bully. How he's brought down. Well, first, he was defeated by bravery. Read with me verses 31 through 37. When the words that David spoke were heard, he repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear or took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and I delivered it out of his mouth. And if it arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David's like, "No worries, man. I'll fight him and I'll kill him." I'm pretty sure Saul was like, "Whatever, dude. Like, I'm not so sure about that." David's like, "You know what? I've faced a bully or two in my life. You know those lions and bears who attacked my sheep? I took care of them." He says Goliath is just like them. To David, they were all bullies who needed someone to stand up. And David's like, "You know what? I got this." He's convinced, just like God gave him the victory over the lion and the bear, that God would give him the win over the giant. And these verses teach us that David won in part because he was not afraid to face the bully. That's not to say that he didn't have butterflies in his stomach. I'm sure when he faced the lion and the bear and Goliath, like, his heart's probably beating out of his chest, right? It's not that he didn't have any fear. What mattered is that he didn't let that fear stop him. David had the courage to stand up for what was right and what was wrong. And David triumphed because he was a man of courage. He was brave. He was an excellent example for us to follow. Because without being brave, bullies in our lives will never be faced, which means they'll never be defeated. The next way the bully was brought down is he was defeated by conviction. Last part of 37 and 4 through 40, Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord will be with you." And Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tied in vain to go, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And so David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose five smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Like David gets Saul's blessing and then he goes to face Goliath. Saul gives him this armor. It doesn't fit. And David's like, this isn't going to work, right? David's a shepherd, and so he picks the tools of a shepherd. He takes his bag and his sleeve and sling and these five stones from the brook, and he goes off to meet Goliath. And if you saw how David was going to prepare to go to this battle in that day, you're going to be like, that dude's going to get killed, man. Like, there is no way. He's going to be able to pull this off. And then I want you to see verse 36 is the key. Here's what David knew. David knew that Goliath would be defeated with the same power that he defeated the lion and the bear. And in both cases, David identified the Lord as the reason for his victory. In verse 36, David's conviction was that the victory was in the hand of the Lord and nowhere else. It didn't matter what weapons he chose. It was God who gave him the victory. The same is true for us. We can defeat our bullies, or we can't defeat them in our own power. Our weapons are ineffective. But against God's power, they're helpless. Just remember, when we're weak, he is strong. So we need to forget about what we've done or what we think we can do. And we need to put our faith in God who can do all things. Ephesians 3 tells us Jesus can do far more than we ever ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So may we have the same conviction that David had. David had faith in the Lord. He knew that God would not fail. The last way the bully was brought down is he was defeated by faith. Verses 41 through 54, we're going to make it through all 54 verses. Look at that. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, you come with me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And David put his hand on his bag, and he took out a stone, and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. And David ran over to the Philistine and took his sword, drew it out of his sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistine as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, and so that the wounded Philistine fell on the way of Shurim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. David walked out to face a bully with absolute faith that he would walk back with a victory. What made his victory possible? It wasn't his ability with a sling. It wasn't David's power or skill as a warrior. The secret to David's success and Goliath's death all came down to faith. David believed that God and God alone handed him the victory. So let me ask you this morning, how about you? Facing any bullies today? What are you going to do about them? You going to hide in your house? You going to let the bully hold you in bondage? Or are you going to let the bully stand in your way of what God has for you? Or are you going to stand up like David did? Put your faith in Jesus and the power of God and trust him to give you the victory. Here's my challenge for you today as we close. If you're here and you're saved, you're a child of God, and your bully might be a person, might be a problem, might be a sin, might be whatever, fill in the blank, would you bring that bully to Jesus and let him give you the courage and the power that you need to face it and to deal with it? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Lord, like David, we all need encouragement from time to time as we face trials and dealing with the bullies in our lives. And so, God, thank you that you're always on the throne and you're always ready to save. Thank you for being the same God to us that you were to David. Thank you for always being near and always rescuing. God, if there's anybody here today, maybe you're here and you just need to give your heart and life to Jesus today. I pray that you would do that right now. And just in the quietness of this moment, would you surrender your life to him? And God, as we leave this place today, I pray that as we face the difficulties of life, that we would put our faith in you and you alone. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.